Right, is your microphone on?
Yes.
Right, okay.
It is working.
You check, actually this time?
It is actually working. If you look up there, you can see it bouncing up and down.
Right, let's go then. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final Manifesto Destiny, number 8, Police, Crime and Justice. Now, before we start, you might have heard mine and Sean's little spat there. Sean, would you care to tell the people what happened yesterday? Don't look at me like that. Tell them. Come on, spit it out. What happened?
So, we may have recorded this yesterday. Mm. However, my microphone was not on for some reason.
No, it wasn't, was it?
No, nope. No, it wasn't. Some strange reason, my microphone wasn't on. We have to record this again.
So this is the second time that we've recorded Police, Crime and Justice. So, we're going to have to try and remember everything funny that we said now.
I know.
You've made more work for us.
We should be much slicker because I've written down the talking points that I made last time.
Oh, good.
That I couldn't remember in the recording. So we should be a bit sleeker.
Anyway, welcome everybody to Talking Pollocks. It's the last in our Manifesto series. This one's going to be coming out late on Wednesday evening.
Indeed it is.
With a quick public service announcement to follow, as promised. We're going to be discussing police, crime and justice in the manifestos this time. We'll probably do a little bit of a roundup at the end. We'll see, probably in the PSA, who... Maybe I've come to a decision who I'm going to vote for. Maybe you have at home. Maybe you haven't yet. Maybe you're going to throw milkshakes on people. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Really don't do that.
Throwing milkshakes on
people.
We've
talked about this. Stop it. Get some help.
Get some.
Right. Hopping straight in, Sean. Where did we start?
We started straight at the top. Lib Dems.
Lib Dems, right. Okay. I mean, it was brilliant because it was just 25 minutes of me talking to myself before you realised that your microphone wasn't working, wasn't it?
Yes, yes it was. Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm sure the people at home would enjoy that very much. They do value your opinion, Sean. So...
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear.
All right, then. The Lib Dems. I noticed that this section is quite large, Sean.
The policing, crime and justice is quite large, but it is quite a broad area, you know, policing and crime and justice, you know, it covers quite a lot, you know, from big crimes to little crimes.
Big crimes to little crimes. Is there such a thing as medium crime?
There is medium crimes. We've got 3 types of crimes in this country.
Oh, okay, explain them.
Jesus Christ, so you've...
I'm making him work for it today, everyone.
I can't remember the lowest one. Summary offence. That's a summary offence.
Okay.
So they're sort of the lowest.
You should kind of know this, considering, doing a law degree.
So they're the lowest offences. You've then got triable either way. They're the middle crimes.
Okay.
So the reason they're triable either way. So all summary offences are heard in the magistrate's court.
Mm-hmm.
Triable either way can be heard either in the magistrate's court or in the crown court. Depending on the crime itself, it will be determined by a magistrate if it needs to go to the crown court or not.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see what the Lib Dems
and then we've got indictments.
Indictments. Well, is that like murder and stuff?
That's like the worst of the worst.
That's like rape, murder.
Indictments is an Americanism.
Do you know, I used to think that word was said indictment.
Indictment?
Yeah, I did.
That's
how
it's spelt, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, why put the C in there if you don't say it, right?
Exactly.
Anyway, right, the Lib Dems, they want to, first of all, restore community policing. What is this?
So this is focusing... police powers in the community, making the police more visible within the community, making them work with the community.
So for some reason, this isn't something that I've experienced, but I seem to remember you mentioning something about knowing your local police officer when you lived in the South, right?
Yeah, so this is actually, that was something that we spoke about when we were discussing Labour. When I was a kid, we always knew who our police officer was. It was PC James Fox. I believe
if you're listening, hi James Fox.
Hi James Fox. I believe we discussed that he was quite an attractive man at the time.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so it's about having police officers visible in the community.
And visible enough for you to see their hotness, apparently.
Apparently, well, yeah, you need to be able to judge that, right?
Never do a podcast with your fiancé, everyone.
Why not?
You get jealous. creating a statutory guarantee that all burglaries will be attended and properly investigated by the police. Now, while I do agree that that is something that we should be doing anyway...
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of resource, and, you know, what if they're attending a burglary, and because there's a statutory guarantee now that all burglaries will be attended, if someone's been murdered round the corner...
Yeah.
Hang on!
Sorry, there's a burglary, I gotta go and get that.
Someone's had a watch stolen.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to make... what's the precedent there? What's
priority order, of course.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there is, and there's people at home going, "Pah, they're talking nonsense."
But introducing this statutory guarantee, what are the repercussions if that's not met? You know, you're talking about this legal right.
Whose responsibility is it to make sure that it's attended?
Exactly.
Is it the local officer? Is it the sergeant?
You know,
is it command? Like, you know, who is responsible for making sure that it is attended? And more importantly, who gets the punishment if it's not attended?
Exactly.
And not investigated.
Exactly. And that's the difficulty, because the resource just isn't there.
Yeah.
That's the problem, unfortunately.
They want to continue investing in the criminal justice system to tackle court backlogs. Now, the Tories are doing this anyway.
Of course, all the parties want to do this. Everyone realises that there is a backlog.
The current government are doing this anyway. Now, there is a massive court backlog. I used to think that this was because, you know, like, high-profile cases get heard, like, way sooner than, like, you know, the small ones. Which is why there's such a massive backlog.
They kind of do, in a sense. But that's because, you know, the high-profile trials are of more heinous crimes, more dangerous crimes that pose a risk to the population. So they need to be heard sooner to ensure that if they are guilty, that they are taken off the streets to prevent that happening again.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, murder needs to be... Someone's going to try for murder before
shoplifting. It's a priority, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because there's that duty of public protection that the criminal justice system has.
And then tackling court to tackle the court backlogs, they're huge. And this has probably got something to do with the reason as why the prisons are so full, right?
Well, it's, you know, that is a symptom at the end of the day. The problem is crime is going up.
Yeah.
So that's why there is so many cases going through the court system, because more and more people are being convicted of crimes, and then the governments are introducing new crime bills and new sentencing bills and that to extend prison terms and introduce new crimes and
which is all good stuff.
It's all needed.
It
adds to the pressures on the system.
When you're not investing in the prison system, sorry by the way if you can hear a huffy dog in the background. We don't normally start doing these things until 7:30, but we've had to start a little bit earlier, so he's huffy that he's lost half an hour of dash time.
Yeah, he's huffy.
They also want to improve rehabilitation in prisons and on release, while strengthening the supervision of offenders. Now, I'm guessing this is things like tagging and stuff like that, but again, it goes back to that you need to invest in the prison system. They're saying it's fully costed. Put a number on it, Ed. Come on.
Yeah, so obviously...
How much are you going to invest, if I can get my bloody words out? Jeez! How much are you going to invest to improve rehabilitation?
They have costed, they say, but they haven't... There's no...
You know...
There is some... detail, but not very much meat on the bone of that one.
I guess it's
a pillar of our justice system, of our prison system. When you're convicted of a crime, you are supposed to be rehabilitated by the prison system. You're not put in there to rot. That's not the point of prison.
Exactly. Unlike, you know, like America, for example, they have the biggest prison problem in the world.
Yes, they really do. They really do. But we have...
It's money. It's all money. And the problem is, for parties talking about this, I'm very much a believer in, okay, you've committed a crime. There are certain crimes that are unforgivable and you should receive a life sentence for.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you can't be rehabilitated.
Which is
But
exactly...
you will be rehabilitated in a 6x4 box.
Which is exactly what we do have. Obviously, we have life sentences.
Yeah.
But life the problem sentences is, start at 15 years and can go and go for full life sentence up until full life sentences.
Society forgets about prisoners because they are locked in a 6x4 box.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm very much. I don't believe that. We do have a responsibility for them. Yes, they've done wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm a big believer in apologies and working
day,
to put yourself right. So and the problem that the political parties have is they can't talk about this or mention it much because
It's not a vote winner.
If you're reading a manifesto that says, right, we're going to give prisoners fucking Sunday dinner every week and they're going to get margaritas with little umbrellas, but we'll make the ends not pointing to make sure it's safe on the little umbrella that you get.
Yeah, yeah.
People just go... No.
That's
no one is going to accept
that's the
that.
Thing. If you put big numbers into prisons, then you're not going to be... have it, that money could be used elsewhere, and that's what people will look at. They'll go, well, actually, you could put that money in the NHS, which benefits the people that aren't in prison.
Yeah.
And that is an argument, don't get me wrong, but we still have to be able to, you know, house prisoners. We have too many prisoners to house. What are we going to do when we are arresting people? Where are we going to put them?
We can't keep them in lockup in a police station because they haven't got the facilities.
We're running out of space because prisons are 104%
capacity.
That's lockup as well filled. That's the 4%.
Yeah.
So where do we put prisoners now? That's the question that's facing police forces and government.
Strengthening the supervision of offenders, this is going to be just more rigorous tagging, I imagine.
The probation service, invest in the probation service, get more officers, more probation officers and that strengthen them services. And obviously, the probation service is in charge of rehabilitation on the outside, so obviously there's investment there needed.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I like that.
And one final note from the Lib Dems. They want to properly support survivors of violence against women and girls during the criminal justice process, including mandatory training for police and prosecutors to understand the impact of trauma. This kind of relates to Breonna Gray, right?
Yeah, so this goes back to quite a lot of high-profile cases that we've had recently.
Yeah.
Breonna Gray is one of them. We also had the Nottingham attacks where police officers... were laughing and joking and taking the mick out of the victims, potentially, and their families, which is absolutely awful for the families, especially when they're going through such a difficult time anyway.
Yeah, and so I like this because, you know, when... If you think about it, right, when you need something, you get someone that specialises in that area, right?
Yeah.
So, for example... If you need a new kitchen, you go to a kitchen shop.
Oh, yeah.
You go to somewhere that designs kitchens.
Wouldn't go to a shoe shop, would you?
You wouldn't go to, like, B&M or Asda, would you? Right? No.
No.
And in certain cases, you know, if you've got an electrical problem, you wouldn't call a plumber, would you?
No.
You need someone that's qualified in that area.
Exactly.
Right? Why aren't police officers qualified in specialties... You know, proper qualifications that allow them to say, yes, I can deal with this. I am specially trained.
We do have certain...
There are specialities
within the police service, like child...
As we know.
Dealing with children, firearms is another one. So that we do have this in place. I think this is going that one step further.
Yes.
To try and boost the empathy. I don't know how effective training is going to be, though.
But
it's about making sure you have the right people in the right roles.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can try and train a bigot as much as you like, and they can put on a show and pretend that they're not bigoted, but those underlying thoughts are still there.
Yeah.
So that's why it's about, for me, it's more about vetting than training.
Yes. And I think one of the parties has a point on that a little bit later, doesn't it?
A few of the parties have a point on it.
Okay. That can only be a good thing.
Exactly.
But I also think, just on the back of that, that whilst it is important to make sure that obviously survivors of this are supported correctly and properly, the same needs to go for the officers that respond to this shit, right?
Definitely, because they see absolutely harrowing scenes.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it in the last week. Me and Sean have a family member who is a police officer in a big city in the UK. And just recently in the last week, just think like, back to what he's attended.
Yeah, because it's been in the media.
It's been in the,
reading the media story, you know, you can get a sense of this sort of scene there. But it's harrowing.
Yeah, so
you need to make sure that support is there, definitely.
Yeah, just as much as the survivors need supporting the officers that deal with this. Because they're going to be dealing with it day in, day out if they specialise in that area, because unfortunately crime is something that will continue and this kind of stuff will continue.
Oh yeah, that's always going to be there.
Yeah.
Crime is not going to stop, unfortunately, and it's probably going to just continue to get worse.
Exactly. I just wanted to mention the police officers definitely as well. Supportage.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure they already have a lot of mechanisms in place. You know, I'm
probably probably less than you think.
You know, it's not going to be you've got a Simply Health cash plan, is it? It's okay. If you need therapy, you can claim back 30% of it with your Simply Health cash plan.
Wouldn't surprise me. It's government funded.
Which government? We'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lib Dems, I have to say, meh.
The big thing for me is they're lacking numbers.
Yeah, fully costed, is it?
There's no numbers about how many police officers this is going to take to hire.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit meh for me.
Do you think?
Yeah. Considering his whole campaign has been, you know, jumping off shit and driving tractors and going down water slides and going to Thorpe Park.
Yeah,
he's literally just been on a British holiday, hasn't he?
He has, but because none of that really points to crime and justice, in my opinion.
No.
So, but again, as I said, it's not a vote winner, so people don't focus on it. He hasn't focused on it.
At least for the prisoner side of things. I love the fact that they've only mentioned restore community policing. Make sure that every burglary is investigated by police. Whereas, they're not going to hire any new. So what are they going to do? They're going to use the existing staff resource within the police? Because let me tell you, it ain't enough. Right? It ain't enough.
Yeah, so there is that, you know, there needs to be more detail there. They need numbers, and you can't cost something if you don't have any numbers. So it's a difficult one.
Yeah.
To
all right then.
Argue.
Yeah. All right then. Let's move it on swiftly down to Downing Street with the Blues.
The incumbent
tenant at Downing Street.
That currently has maybe 12 or just over 12 and a half hours left.
Oh.
Well, it's a bit longer than that.
I mean,
Friday.
It's a good thing he's got a house in Yorkshire, innit? Because in a couple of days, he's not going to have anywhere to live.
No, well, he will. He's got enough money. He's richer than the bloody king. It's not as if he couldn't, you know, buy himself a property.
But the king is richer in personality.
Yeah, exactly. Who isn't? Oh, Keir Starmer's not.
You see, we've done it again. Now we have to say something bad about Rishi. Oh, no, we've already done it.
I said it was impartial.
Yeah, no, we're fine. We're good. We're impartial. Everything's fine. Right, moving on to Downing Street.
Yes, to the Blues.
Sean, quick question. Is your microphone still on?
Yes.
Good. Just checking. I was expecting a middle finger or something, but I just got lovely smile.
It's fine. I accept that I made a mistake.
Ooh, you'd make a really bad politician. You said the M word.
I did say the M word, but because I genuinely made
Have you said the S word yet? You can never say the S word.
I did in a message. In writing.
Oh, you wrote it down?
I wrote it down. I know, but let's go.
All right.
Let's carry on.
The Tories. Yes. So they're straight in hot with recruiting 8,000 police officers.
Yeah, they've got a number on it. Bam.
They have put a number on it. 8,000 officers. They also want to give police additional powers, including technology, such as facial recognition. Well, I'm not a fan of that. Powers to seize knives and track down stolen property. I like those. How are you going to track down stolen property? Give everyone an air tag? How's that going to work?
Magic. They're just the police. These powers that they're giving the police, they're psychic.
Yeah, maybe the Green Party is going to lend them some wind.
Maybe some wind from the Greens. Yeah, that'll help them track down this property.
They also want to legislate to ensure police officers are properly vetted during their service and sack anyone who fails.
Yeah, so this is something that I think should be happening anyway.
Yeah, I totally agree. Why are we not doing this already?
Why are we just letting Tom, Dick and Harry walk around as police officers?
Right.
You know,
Officer Tom, Officer Dick and Officer Harry.
Exactly.
Police Constable Dick.
Well, his name's actually Police Constable Richard. But...
Police Constable Richard Dick.
Richard Dick.
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 So this actually it goes a little bit further than the Lib Dems, doesn't it? Introducing licensing for specialist roles.
Yes.
Like is already in place with firearms officers.
Yeah.
So this is what I think should happen.
So this is obviously, so with to become a firearms officer, you have to undergo rigorous testing, extensive vetting, like beyond what should the normal vetting, but that, so there's already the vetting in place for firearms officers, obviously.
Yeah.
But making sure that specialist roles have that same level of scrutiny put on them. Mm-hmm. When it comes to dealing with rape and murder crimes, stuff like that.
Right.
And it's about making sure that the right people are in the right roles.
Yep, I agree with all this. Like that, everyone. I mean, like I said earlier, if you need an electrician, you call a licensed electrician.
Exactly. So
if you need specialist support from the police for a certain thing, you should get a specialist officer trained in dealing with that certain thing.
And you should have the confidence that they are the right person.
Yes.
Which is by vetting. That was what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, again, that is something that we should be doing already. Just going back to that point. Why are we not doing that? Why are we not doing that?
I just don't know.
Increasing the use of community payback and electronic tagging. Is this tying in with the national service element? The community payback, or is this a different thing?
This is a different thing. So it's already used. This is basically community orders, unpaid work, that sort of thing, paying back to the community that you committed your crime in. And increasing the use of that, I think, is a good idea. You know, they do useful stuff in the community, you know, they maintain green spaces and things like that. And while it may seem minor what they're doing to pay back, it does help, obviously, you know, it makes it the places we live look nice and stuff like that to improve our lives.
Yep.
And then obviously electronic tagging to make sure we can track the mofos everywhere. Track the mofos.
Give everyone an air tag.
Yeah. Including people. We've got people tags.
So, rolling out of hotspot policing and focus on high crime areas. I have a feeling, is this a hotspot policing? They're like the community.
I think this is more focused resources on high crime areas. Obviously, we know crime is higher in certain areas than others. So, you know, it's higher in Fulham than it is...
Yeah, I guess every town has
Chelsea.
That area that you avoid because of, as Sean would put it, crime.
Crime.
So, crime. Well, say it again. Crime.
Well, that is the title of this episode.
and you know, you avoid it. So, you know, maybe put some police officers there.
Yeah, and it's about focusing the resource that we've got, which makes sense.
Now this is an interesting one because I like this because have you ever had on your mobile phone bill, you get it and it's like £3.99 more than it should be, and you think, I haven't fucking spent anything on my phone bill, I haven't been abroad, what are these charges for? You look at your bill and it's like it'll say something like multimedia message or something to that effect, and it'll have charged you £3.99. now if you'd have received a text message in that month from, you know, I don't know, like sending you an offer or something like that, sometimes those motherfuckers can charge you for sending you that text message. Mad, right? Now, the Tories want to ban SIM farms, which are used to send these bulk fraudulent text messages, and to ban cold calling for financial products.
So the SIM farms, the main focus. So while they do what you said,
I guess they do the whole like send you a text like from me pretending to be your bank and
yeah,
stuff like that
so,
as well.
So
like they're going to be used for all sorts of things.
That's
aren't they?
The main focus here because that is currently a crime.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual stealing of the money by using the fraudulent
means, yeah.
Whereas the person running the SIM farm, that's perfectly legal. They're allowed to do that. You can have those SIM cards and those phones running for as long as possible.
As
you're not the person that's running the illegal website that's fraudulently stealing the money, you can't get in trouble.
No way.
Yeah, and that is it's a loophole in the fraud law, so it's trying to close that down and ensure that it gets rid of the root source of these messages rather than just the people stealing the money and benefiting from it. Root source.
That's crazy. I mean, that's a loophole that needs fucking closing.
Exactly, so that's why they want to do that and then ban financial cold calling because that just makes sense. Nobody likes getting a phone call and saying, do you want to open a credit card or something.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Introduced a 25-year prison term for domestic murders. I believe it's currently 15.
Yeah, so it just, at the moment, it follows the normal life sentencing. I think there's an aggravating factor for domestic.
Yeah.
but yeah, so they would now start at 25 years rather than 15.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. That's good. They also want to review homicide sentencing as well, which makes sense.
Yeah, I guess to, you know, make it in
a bit more modern and in line with current...
with what's actually happening.
Yeah. So, moving on then... they want to also introduce an aggregating factor. This is something you mentioned a minute ago, Sean, to murder sentences in the context of rough sex. Okay, rough sex.
Rough sex.
Caught me off guard there, Sean. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
They also want to make life imprisonment without parole mandatory for heinous murders. Did I say that right? Did I
heinous,
get that
right? You got it right.
Did I say
it
right?
You did.
Oh, look at me.
So that second point, obviously, the worst of the worst murders.
Yes. I know what the word means, like, but I didn't know how to say it.
But yeah, so the first one, though, the aggravating factor for rough sex.
Yeah.
My understanding of this is because it's very dark.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's just remember that there might be
young people.
Delicate ears listening. So try and put this as delicately as you can. I know you find that difficult.
So essentially, in recent years, it's been increasing in frequency. It's happened more and more.
Okay.
Where
it's getting more and more prevalent.
Yeah, where someone has been murdered, but they have also been raped.
Okay.
And that is what this is. So,
what are you saying? That they've been fucked to death?
Well, not necessarily. If someone raped... normally, what would happen is they rape them and then they kill them.
Wow. That's
what happens.
That's very heinous.
That is heinous.
Heinous. Oh.
You got it right the first time and not the second.
Heinous sounds better. I'm going to say heinous.
Okay. But yes, so
heinous.
It's to if that happens, it's about adding it as an aggravating factor, increase the sentencing.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that should be a thing already. Just saying. And yeah, it was pretty dark. And let's swiftly move on from that.
Exactly. Yes. Please do.
Make life imprisonment without parole. Oh, we've done that.
Yeah.
Require rapists and serious sexual offenders. Jesus Christ, Sean. Rapists and serious sexual offenders to spend the whole of their sentences behind bars.
Yeah, so at the moment...
So currently released on licence, right, about halfway through?
Yeah, so you at the moment, if you're sentenced to 2 years in prison, you'll spend 1 year in prison and then 1 year on licence in the community. If you break any of your community restrictions, you're back in prison for the rest of your sentence.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
But obviously, they want to make it for... They want to change that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to make sure they stay behind bars.
Sex crimes, yeah.
Makes total sense to me.
Definitely.
So, if your name's Lucy Letby, you're going to hate this next one. Give judges the power to require offenders to attend a court hearing.
Yeah, so I don't know why they can not attend, but if
you
they're not...
could be there.
If they're not required at the hearing, then they can choose not to attend. Which I just feel is absolutely bizarre. Like, Lucy Letby is the example that you mentioned. She just didn't attend some of her hearings, some of her sentencing hearings. She was like, well, I'm already in prison. Why do I care? It is literally the ethos that she seemed to have.
Yeah.
Which is wrong. She needs to face
the court. They have a right to face the person that's done this.
Exactly. If they want to. Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know who Lucy Letby is, she's the nurse who killed several babies
at a Manchester neonatal
unit, right?
At Countess of Chester Hospital.
Yes.
And she's been found guilty of six murders and seven attempted murders.
Yeah, and obviously, really fucking awful thing.
Yeah.
Our thoughts go out to the families of that, because Jesus Christ, it's like the darkest of crimes, in my opinion. Anything.
But yeah, but she got the choice of not attending her hearing.
She should have been there. She should have been there. They should have dragged her out of bed and made her go. I'm getting angry about it now. Moving on. So, this next point, Sean, I'm just going to point out first that the current prison population in the UK is 89,000 people, and that's expected to rise to 119,000 by 2028.
Yes.
Our current prison capacity is 88,
It's just, yeah, around 88,000. I believe it's 87,800 and something.
So, if it's rising to 119k by 2028, and they want to... the Tories want to build four new prisons by 2030, but that's only going to increase capacity by 20k. That maths ain't mathin, and that is going to have no fucking impact whatsoever.
It's not going to make a difference. That by those numbers, by the increase expected by 2028, we need 40,000 new prison places.
Yes, and that's half of what we need.
2 years after we need it.
Two years after we need it.
So, yeah, it just doesn't line up. But they're going further than what the Lib Dems have. They've said, well, we will build some.
Yes.
Which is acknowledging
the
issue.
Now, obviously, they're projections. Now, we can only work on projections because, you know, it's not fucking 2028 yet.
And we ain't psychic. We haven't got those new police powers
Wait. No, I'm still not telepathic. So, no. We can only go off the numbers that are presented to us at the time, right?
Exactly.
Excuse me. So yeah, that math doesn't math.
No, so we can just Ricky, hope. We can so, either just hope that it doesn't go up as much as it says, or we'll be in dire straits in 2028.
Yeah, I totally agree. We need. Yeah, you need to do better there, Tories. Moving on, they want to remove foreign offenders to their own nations after they're sent. Surely it would be more cost-effective to just send them back to their country and say, look, this person has committed a crime in our nation. We'll get agreement with these countries, of course. It might take some time, but they need to serve out the prison sentence
so
over there.
There is a very valid argument of why that wouldn't happen, and that is because countries around the world also have an issue with prison populations.
Right. As we've seen,
America, for example, has an explode. They have the largest prison population in the world.
If you haven't seen it, World's Toughest Prisons on Netflix. Really, really good.
Example Raul from that, Manila in the Philippines, the prison there. You know, they're sleeping
like
in corridors. 400%
overpopulated, wasn't it?
Exactly. You know, so we're not going to get agreement. And the second part of that is they're not going to pay for prisoners where they've committed a crime not in their country.
Yeah.
So if we can't get those agreements, then we can't just send them back and let them free, because then they're not facing justice for the crime they've committed. So we need to make sure that that justice is served.
Yeah, I see
that
it.
Is the justification for the after sentence part.
No, I get it. And prisoners can't vote, right?
Not at the moment,
they want to maintain the ban on prisoners voting.
Yeah,
they've got.
You lose your right when you go into prison, and you regain it when you are released. Unlike America, where convicted felons can't vote ever.
Good. So, a good important point here from the Tories: they want to invest in rehabilitation.
Yeah, a bit like the Lib Dems.
Now, again, quite open-ended.
Very broad.
No costing there, no money. But again, we kind of know why. They're not going to say, we're going to give prisoners £100 billion. You know,
yeah,
they're not going to say
that
because...
would lose even more votes.
Because I imagine Mrs. Smith on her, you know, whatever, 222 quid a week state pension goes, hang on a fucking minute.
Why are the prisoners getting so much?
I worked for 60 years and I get that shit.
Yeah.
You can just imagine it, can't you? Imagine Nan from Catherine Tate's sketch show.
Yeah.
What a load of old shit.
It's not a vote winner, so yes, they're not gonna go too detailed.
But good, investing in rehabilitation, introducing restrictions on sex offenders changing their names. I mean, what the fuck, Sean?
So
why is this allowed?
So I don't know why it's allowed. It's a loophole, but if when you commit a sex crime, you are put on the sex offenders register.
Yes, if you a sex crime. So this is stuff, things like rape,
sexual assault, exposure, those sorts of things.
Indecent exposure, I think, as well is included in that. If it's prolonged and God, what an awful word to use to describe. That.
Yeah, anything like paedophilia.
Yeah, all that
stuff, like
horrible
that.
Stuff.
That's all.
And you actually have to sign it, don't you?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you have to sign the sex offenders
but
register.
But your name is entered onto the sex offenders register, but you can then go and change your name. And while in, by deed poll, and while in sense, you can trace that, you could go to the deed poll, get the document, and then go to the sex offenders register and compare. That's a lot of work, and that, you know, who's got the time for that? That's multiple government departments that you have to deal with. So most of the time people are getting away with it and then not having to declare that they're on the sex offenders register.
I can't believe that. That is ridiculous.
So it's about stopping that
from
not happening.
That should not be like, if you are a convicted felon, this isn't America, for God's sake. If you're a convicted criminal, if you've been convicted of a crime, legally you should, that right should be removed from you. You should not be able to change your name and hide your identity like that.
I completely agree.
Because there's only one reason that they're doing that, isn't there?
Oh, obviously.
Isn't
so
it?
They don't have to declare.
Exactly.
But it's at the moment,
frankly,
it's the right that everybody has. Everybody has the right to change
frankly,
their
that
name.
Is a loophole that should have been closed fucking years ago.
But yeah, so that's something they want to do.
That is mad. That is, I'm shocked. Anyway, so a little bit more on funding now. Fund an additional 100 criminal law pupillage to cut the court backlogs. Now, the Lib Dems basically just said, we'll just invest in it. At least the Tories have said we're going to do this to help with this.
Yeah, so this is about training more criminal law barristers for the CPS to be able to go to court and present the cases for the prosecution so we can get through them quicker. Because most of the time it is a case of there's not enough lawyers available to seal to be able to present the cases. So it's about trying to fill
those
gaps.
Or they're busy with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
Well, they're not criminal law. But
oh, okay. I guess that was civil, wasn't
it? Yeah.
I bet every judge was fighting to be on that case, weren't they?
I'd love to have been a juror.
Oh, imagine. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall.
Oh, I'd love to have been a juror in Trump's case as well. That'd have been amazing.
Well, interesting point on Trump, actually, Sean. So there's a question of whether he's got immunity.
Well, the Supreme Court has ruled that he has immunity for official actions, but not unofficial actions.
Yeah.
So the courts now have to decide
what's official
exactly
and what isn't.
Is an official action, and therefore what charges have to be dropped against him.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one to watch. Talking Politics US, come in next time. I'm joking,
no,
we're not
it's
doing
just
that.
Just not coming.
We said this last time, it's too confusing and too convoluted. America, change your voting system, change the way your government works, then we'll talk.
Yeah,
okay?
Be good.
Right, back from, we'll jump back across the Atlantic.
Yeah, yeah.
So, cutting call backlogs, good, yeah. They want to ban face coverings, pyrotechnics, and climbing on war memorials during protests. Now, I understand the banning of the face coverings because it will disincentivise people to go and, you know, it makes sure that we can see the people that are doing naughty stuff.
Well, yeah,
however,
to prevent people from, you know, going...
Good luck fucking policing that.
Yeah.
How are you going to police that?
If a thousand
people walk towards you wearing a face mask and there's 100 officers...
Just go and take them off them.
What are you going to do? Walk up to each one of them and go, right, take that off.
Yeah.
That's illegal. Are you going to arrest every single one? I don't know how many pairs of handcuffs the police officers have, but I guarantee you it isn't 1,000 between 100 officers.
No. What they'll do...
They're going to need more than that Volkswagen transporter van to pick that lot up.
They'll stand there with their flip pad and they'll write fixed penalty notices for everyone.
Okay, right, from left to right, front to back, can I have your name, please?
Name and address, and date of birth.
Hey, stop running off. Get back here, you.
Okay,
hold
me a
you.
Second. Can I have a PNC check on?
Boop, boop. They all make that noise, don't they?
Yeah, they do, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so good luck policing that. Pyrotechnics, I mean, yeah, nobody should be setting fire to shit. Peaceful protest is the definition, ladies and gentlemen.
That is what we're allowed to do, yes.
Yes, so don't go setting fire to shit. You know what happened? Somebody tried to set fire to someone in London. Half of London burned down.
Yeah.
So let's not do that.
And
right?
And
that's a good thing.
Climbing
on war memorials, that's a given. You shouldn't be doing that shit anyway. Come on.
No, definitely not.
Come on, you shouldn't be doing that. This goes back to the whole throwing milkshakes at people. Common sense, don't do it. Don't be a moron. Stop it. Get some help.
Exactly.
All right. The next point, fairly self-explanatory, banning protests outside of schools. Yeah, okay, fair enough. They also want to strengthen police powers to prevent the protests. Prevent protests. Whoa. Let me start that sentence again. There's a lot of P's in there, Sean, right?
That's because there's a word missing, technically.
Oh, is there? Right.
Yeah.
Strengthen police powers to prevent protests
that
arising and presenting a risk of serious disorder.
Well, it's
you read the sentence because it's obviously wrong.
Strengthen police powers to prevent protests that present a risk of serious disorder.
Right, okay, so yeah, I was miles away.
So it's the sentence that I've written minus one, and I've added one word.
Yeah, but you've got prevent protests present.
Yeah, I've added the word that between.
Yeah, I know, but it's the it's throwing me up. So this is the
it happens anyway. Yeah. The police the chief constable, but it's a very limited list that they can ban stuff for.
Free speech, so. it's a thin blue line, isn't it?
It is a thin blue line, but when it does present a risk of serious disorder and damage to property, then it needs to be prevented.
And one final point from the Tories. We have got here that they want to ensure protection for elected representatives. Now, this is something that me and Sean have discussed off the podcast, and we both wholeheartedly agree that no matter how much you disagree with some of these fuckwits, don't throw milkshakes at them, don't throw concrete at them.
Don't kill them.
They should be protected in public office.
Like, yeah, this obviously it comes from the two high-profile MPs that were murdered.
Joe Cox and David...
Sir David Ames. Joe Cox, yes. At the end of the day, they are just doing their job. They should not be subject to that danger.
No, they shouldn't. And Nigel Farage is sick and tired of telling his dry cleaner to get McDonald's banana milkshake out of his suit.
I'm surprised he hasn't got like a sponsorship from McDonald's yet.
Why doesn't he? Well, McDonald's would never align themselves with anything political, would they?
Why
doesn't he just go one up on them and wear a banana milkshake coloured suit?
He looked like a dickhead.
No, he looked like a minion.
No, because he'd look like he's running for the Lib Dems.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he would. Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah,
joking aside, they should be protected. You know that they should. But it also means that someone can keep an eye on them.
Yeah,
make sure they're not doing anything.
But the thing is, as we've seen from the gambling issue during the election, the police are just as bad as the elected officials when it comes to committing crimes.
We're going to be discussing that on our post-election Talking Pollocks when we get back to normal weekly Wednesdays.
Yes, we will. Yeah.
We're going to be talking about that in detail.
Yeah.
The Tories, Sean. Wow, what a lot to go through.
I know.
For the Tories. I'm going to be honest. I like it.
It's one of the key pillars of conservatism.
Yeah.
And it's policing and crime, you know.
Not as much as I'd like to see about the prison system, but the building of the prisons, it's lackluster. That is the straw that is breaking that camel's back for me. I think there's some really good things in there. The sex offenders changing their names, that should be a thing anyway, what the fuck, and protection for elected representatives, recruiting an additional 8,000 officers. I swear they put this in every manifesto, but it can only be a good thing if they're actually going to do it.
Exactly. And it's good, yeah. So, it was nice to see some numbers. That's a big key difference that I would say between the two we've seen so far.
Now, as this is a really big bumper episode, we're going to take a quick break. Listen to this short advert from someone that you don't know. We'll be right back after this message. Hi there, everyone. It's Criff here from Talking Pollocks, and off of Criff and Sean on Twitch, and off of Criff and Sean on Twitter. I'm here to tell you about a very special episode of Talking Pollocks coming up on Friday, the 5th of July. Me and Sean will be live on our Twitch channel doing a very special recording of Talking Pollocks live for you to watch. It will still be available on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts, but we just wanted to mention it. Hopefully you can come along and say hello. We know that we've got a few listeners around the world now. We know you're out there, those people in America. Not really sure why you're listening, though. Anyway, it'd be really good to see some faces, some new faces on the Twitch channel. So please, if you do get some time on Friday the 5th at around 7:30 p.m. BST, me and Sean will be going live, discussing the election, where it's up to so far, the results, and we'll be putting it out on Spotify as well. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. It's not finished yet. It's going to be great. Really looking forward to seeing you there. Thank you so much. We'll now get back to the boys. Me and Sean, that is, talking about Labour and police and crime. I don't know. Just get on with it, boys. Come on. All right then, everybody, welcome back. Honestly, whoever made that advert needs to calm the F down.
yeah, they do.
Right? We're back.
We are back.
Thanks for bearing with us there. So we're back with Labour, Police, Crime and Justice.
Police, Crime and Justice.
Totally didn't try and say Ice Cream and Justice there.
Ice Cream and Justice.
Who doesn't like Ice Cream and Justice? I like ice cream. And
well, I've never had them together, so I don't know.
Justice flavoured ice cream.
Yeah.
Yum.
My favourite.
So what are Labour going to do?
Well, they are... So, you know, earlier we said about neighbourhood policing?
Yes.
Well, that's what they're going to do.
Oh, okay.
They're going to recruit thousands of new officers, police and community support officers and special constables, ensuring that communities will have a named officer to turn to.
Oh, this goes back to your hot police officer
friend,
right?
The hot police officer, yes, that I had when I was a kid.
Notice that they haven't put a number on that, they've just said thousands.
Yeah, it's not a defined number, is it?
It has to be more than 2,000, though.
It does, yeah, because it's a plural.
It's plural, right?
Yeah,
we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
The Tories put a number on it, 8,000.
That's how many we want,
Labour.
Yes.
Just thousands.
Thousands of them.
However, how are we going to pay them all?
Well...
All these new special officers.
That is going to be paid for by tackling waste.
Okay.
Like tackling bureaucracy and stuff with a new police efficiency.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't think it was going to be like rugby tackling a bin on the street. I thought it might have something to do with bureaucratic waste.
But a new police efficiency and collaboration program setting national standards for procurement. So it's similar to what they want to do with the NHS, centralise procurement or make it uniform across all police forces.
Yeah, that makes sense. One supplier to service them all, right?
Yeah, exactly. You probably get a better deal.
You would definitely get a better deal. But is it going to put other businesses that might potentially have, you know, that one small business might have done really well on that tender and won that contract? Small cleaning company won a contract to clean, you know, 5 police stations, let's say. If they then lose that could be like 50% of that company's income.
Yeah. There's obviously a downside to that, but in terms of efficiency for the police force, that is, it can only be a good thing.
Right? Yeah, that can only be a good thing.
It's the same as the NHS, you know, these things should be done centrally, and it should be done to as a cost efficiency programme more than anything.
Yeah, I know, I agree with that. They want to introduce respect orders. Okay.
Yeah,
what are they?
So this is to tackle antisocial behaviour.
Okay.
And so it gives the powers to sort of like ban adults from like town centres. It's an aim to prevent alcohol and drug use in populated areas. Is the idea.
I mean, yeah, like we said earlier, there's always that one area of town that you avoid.
Exactly.
That can only be a good thing.
I thought this was sort of a thing already. I didn't know they were called respect orders. I've never heard that term.
No, I've never heard that before.
But I thought the courts already had the power to ban people from areas. But that's just me.
I think they do. I think it's called something else, though. I can't remember what it's called. I think they have that power, but it has to be enforced in a certain way, something like that. I can't remember. Yeah, there's a similar thing already in place, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Hard knife crime.
Yeah, so they've obviously gone quite big on knife crime.
Yeah. In a decade, so they put a time frame on it.
Yeah, so in 10 years they want to halve it. Which some people say, is that going far enough?
I would say no. Surely you want to do more than that.
Yeah.
Half it in a decade. So you're still going to let half of all knife crimes happen?
Yeah, that's the thing. So there is that talk about, is it going far enough? Is the ambition there to actually stop knife crime?
Yeah. The next point is interesting. Staying on the knife topic, every youth caught in possession of a knife will be referred to the young offenders team and receive a mandatory prevention plan, including tagging, curfews, and custody.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's obviously, again, quite a harsh...
It's supposed to act as a deterrent, and it probably will.
Yeah. But I don't know, because it requires the police to actually catch youths in possession of knives.
It does, yes. However, my point here is that youths and kids should not be carrying knives anyway.
No, completely agree. Nobody should be carrying a knife. at the end of the day. Nobody should need to carry a knife with them.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I do think, sitting at my desk at work, that I could stab someone in the eye.
Well, no. If jokingly, yes, but you genuinely, nobody needs to walk around the street carrying a knife.
No, no one does.
It shouldn't need to be a thing.
It's ridiculous. Not necessarily lock them up, but do something.
No, so obviously that's why custody is last, because that would be the last resort if they have multiple times they've been caught, for example.
Banning ninja swords, lethal zombie blades, and machetes, that should be done already. That's a moot point.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. They shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, that should be done already. Strengthen rules to prevent illegal online knife sales by holding executives of these online companies to account. Now, one or two things will happen here. Executives will go, right, we no longer sell knives at all. Take them all off the platform. Or these businesses will just stop operating in the UK.
I don't think they will. So, but the problem is, it's quite difficult. So, there was a spate of knives or hidden knives,
zombie blades.
Yeah, that were being sold on Instagram.
Yeah.
For example, so Instagram isn't a sales platform for a start. So, with that, what you said, they can't go, we'll just stop selling knives, because they don't do that anyway.
That's a good point. So, do you think this is aimed more at social media companies rather than Amazon and stuff?
I certainly think it is, because that's where the illegal online knife sales are coming from. So legal knife sales, Amazon are legally allowed to, as long as they check your ID at the door.
Which they do.
And stuff like that. As long as they take those steps to ensure you're 18 or over, it's where they're being sold by less reputable sources.
Yeah.
Such as on Instagram and Facebook Marketplace and stuff like that, where it's user-generated content. But again, holding the executives to account is quite difficult because
by a wall of lawyers,
and it's limited in what some of them can do. You know, you can always you can always block an account, but then it's easy enough to open another account and another account and another account.
The thing is, though, the social media companies do need to do more on fake accounts. Simply put, they need to do more on it.
Yeah, completely. This, you know, you look at X, for example. There are many, many fake accounts on there.
Yeah.
Just try to sort of, I don't even know what they're trying to do, they're just blank profiles.
Yeah, we see it on Twitch all the time, bots joining the chat and offering to sell us graphics.
Yeah, trying to sell stuff, but again, it's quite difficult, because, you know, there's these people out there who will just sit there and set up dozens and dozens of accounts and do that.
Because some people have the time to do that.
Exactly. And they make a lot of money from it.
They do, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, you're right,
some people do fall for it.
Okay, what's next?
So creating a Young Futures Network with a series of hubs to prevent young offending. So this is about that community focus, that neighbourhood focus again.
Yeah.
Trying to prevent young people falling into the life of crime.
I think, you kind of have to start at the root with this kind of thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's preventative measures are great. And, you know, we're saying that, you know, prisoners and prison and crime, that's not a vote winner. But what Labour are trying to do is they're trying to turn it so it's actually more community focused than that.
Yeah.
So it is, they're trying to win votes that way, which is fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
It seems to be working.
That can only be a good thing as well. It's just if it gets the right amount of investment. My concern is that all these things sound quite good, but will Labour actually put the money into it? And will Labour and the country have the money for this?
Yeah.
Because I think one of two things is going to happen tomorrow and over the next few months. It'll be a case of Labour's manifesto was correct and they keep their promises and it works, or they get into office, but everything is so much worse than we thought it was, and they completely renege on everything that they've promised. And
I reckon there's going to be parts that they renege regardless.
Yeah.
Because all political parties do. Every time, every election, they always go back on their manifesto at some point.
Yeah, Boris Johnson did it, Theresa May did it.
Yeah, they've all
Tony Blair did it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a tough one. But...
So, introducing criminal exploitation of children offence. So this would be a new criminal offence in the courts.
Yeah.
To go after gangs who are using children.
Yeah, so this is like drug gangs that are using children to move drugs around and sell drugs.
Yep. And great documentary on the BBC, on BBC iPlayer called The Detective, I think.
Oh, yes.
Which was based on an OCG in Rochdale called The Adam Line.
Yeah.
Which follows how the detectives investigate that. It's very, very good. But yeah, that's that they used, you know, they used 12 to, you know, 9 to 12 year olds to do their running for them. And, you know, that was part of the documentary features, the child exploitation element, which is... It's very sad. I mean, I don't... Obviously, these kids live in such depraved areas that haven't had any investment, and, you know, which Boris Johnson was kind of trying to do with levelling up.
The thing is, you say that, but not everyone falls into this, so it's...
There's some people, it is a choice.
It is a choice for some people.
But some people fall into it, don't necessarily know what they're getting into, and then... Strike, they can't get out of it.
Yeah, totally. But hopefully with a bit of investment, it might change. But again, crime is on the up.
Yeah.
It's on an upward trend. It has been for some time now. So...
So...
Yeah. Difficult.
Difficult. Yeah. Child exploitation is always a difficult subject. And unfortunately, it's something that's always going to happen.
Well, I don't think it is. It's not something that happened... It's not overly widespread.
In regards of drug running and gangs using them, because they're easy targets, unfortunately.
Unless they change drug laws, and then that's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could be prosecuted, you know, for the child exploitation, but there is another element to it as well. I'll have to do some research on it, everybody, and get back to you on that. Moving on then, they want to introduce specialist rape and sexual offence teams in every police force. Good, yep. That can only be a good thing. Fast-track rape cases with specialist courts in every Crown Court location in England and Wales. So there'd be there would be a separate courtroom for just rape cases.
Yeah, but this goes back to a point that the Tories have raised in there. So they, if you go back and if you remember, they said about funding pupillages. And if you remember, I mentioned then that one of the problems is we don't have enough CPS lawyers to actually try the cases.
Yeah.
It's all well and good opening new courts, but unless you've got the staff there to run them and support them, that needs to be changed.
A brand new hospital is lovely, but if you can't afford to staff it,
exactly.
There's no point in being there.
Exactly.
They also want to introduce domestic abuse experts in 999 call rooms, strengthen the rights of whistleblowers in the workplace. They also want to give new powers to the His Majesty's Inspectorate of the Constabulary Fire and Rescue Services to intervene in failing forces. Now, this is something that I think definitely needs to happen, given the reports that have come out of the London Fire Brigade recently regarding their inclusivity report and other, like the Met Police Service.
I was going to say, I think it's more aimed at the Met Police than anything, but definitely the Fire Brigade as well.
You know, these are our public services.
I don't understand why it's not already a thing. You know, Ofgem can get involved with failing energy companies.
Yeah.
And Ofwat can get involved with failing water companies. And the Department for Transport can do transport companies. You know, why can't we do that with other public services?
Surely the Home Office can do this.
Well, you'd think, but you know, the whole point that the His Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary Fire and Police and Rescue Services is for them to do this. If they don't have the powers to do it, they seem a bit pointless.
Okay, last point from Labour then. Introducing mandatory minimal vetting standards and stronger training on racism and VAWG. I'm not sure what that is.
Violence against women and girls.
Ah, okay. I mean, yes, minimal vetting standards, but everyone should be vetted. It shouldn't be minimal vetting standards.
I think it's supposed to be said minimum. Sorry.
Minimum. Oh, okay, not minimal.
No.
Right, okay, you're cool. Okay, so, minimum vetting standards, yes, agreed.
Yes,
and stronger training on racism and violence against women and girls, yes. I also think there needs to be more training on hate crime.
Yeah, completely.
Because they're not investigated properly at all by any police service.
No.
As we know.
again, it's because hate crime itself is not a crime, it's an aggravating factor on a separate crime.
Yeah.
And that's where the difficulty is. There's confusion around it, and that's the issue there. So yeah, stronger training definitely might help that.
Cool. All right then. Well, labour, a lot in there. A lot to digest, Sean.
Yeah, a lot of it aimed at knife crime. They've got quite a big focus on knife crime.
Yeah. I mean, Labour's already always performed very strong in London, haven't they? In central London. They're obviously going to focus a little bit of attention on that because that's where the biggest problem is.
Yeah, well, and you say that, but even in Manchester, knife crime is rising. Liverpool.
Newcastle.
It's rising all over the place. Even in Scotland.
The nationwide standards for procurement I thought was quite interesting. It can only help, but my fear is it is going to put
local businesses out of pocket. Yeah, I completely see that. That is a potential risk of that.
It's a contract with the public service at the end of the day. It's guaranteed money.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you've also then got to think about...
You work for Birmingham Council.
But then we've also got to then consider, at the end of the day, as taxpayers, we want efficiency for our money.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to be spending tax where we don't need to be.
Yeah, which I do feel like there is a lot of wastage and bureaucratic mess.
Oh, 100%.
All right, then. Moving on. Last two to do. Oh, I feel a bit sad we're getting to the end now.
I know. I can't believe we're almost at the end of the manifestos.
Manifesto Destiny specials. I know. We're nearly at the end. All right, then. Shall we go light green or light blue?
Well, should we just do green next?
Let's do the green
party. Let's do the green party next.
We don't need a drum roll this time.
No. No, they're not overly... They don't really care about justice, it seems.
No. All right, then. So, first point from the greens. I absolutely love... Oh, I just punched the microphone. I do apologise. End stop and search and the use of facial recognition.
I don't agree with that.
Why?
Because while stop and search it should be used as a sort of a last resort, I feel that the police should have that power. If they genuinely believe that someone is carrying something illegal or stolen property or a weapon,
a suspicion.
They have to have reasonable suspicion.
Yeah.
And I think that is right. That they have that power. Otherwise, I think
it should be in certain areas, cities.
If they can't stop people and search them, then if they stop someone and put them in the back of a police car, and then they pull out a knife and stab the police officer.
How are you going to do that with your hands behind your back in cuffs?
Because you don't always get cuffed behind your back.
Well, if they have reasonable suspicion that you have a knife, I imagine they would. It's a question for our police officer friend, right?
you'd think so, but it still poses that risk. I think stop and search, it should still be a power that the police have.
Yeah, I think I do think it's a power they should have in certain areas. There is no reason that in the Scottish Highlands... Well, I mean, there might be. A lot of people in the Scottish Highlands have guns, right?
I was going to say, yeah. Probably the riskier
area. That's a bad example. Moving on. Police services to deliver regular fitness to practice assessments on diversity.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is about, rather than vetting them, have them complete regular assessments.
Like they haven't got enough to do.
Exactly. I think vetting would probably be a better way of doing it. But this is their approach instead of vetting. Open it up to more people and just...
Yeah. All right. Give police and crime commissioners, local councillors, open access to data to enable effective scrutiny.
Yeah, so it's about giving some oversight of the police forces.
Yeah, I agree. More oversight can only be good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that.
It's about giving it to the local people. You know, police and crime commissioners are voted for locally, same as your local councillors. So it's about keeping that local touch.
Yep, like that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. So, adopting the restorative justice approach, starting with diversion programs in place for all low-level drug and alcohol offences, as well as young offenders arrested for low-level offences. There's a lot. Okay, I get it.
So obviously,
it's a good
at the
idea.
Moment, we run a punitive justice system.
Yep.
And they want to completely change how our justice system works. Big ambitions. does it work in practice? Restorative justice has proven benefits, but it also has proven negatives. Is it going to make anything better? Probably not. It's just going to change the system, and we all know when the government changes something, it just causes a shit ton of mess.
Yeah.
So that's
there's nothing more to say. Yeah.
No. So while it is might be a good idea, it's just reasonably impractical.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's going to have that massive injection of money, which, you know, the Greens are saying that they can get.
Yeah.
They want to make misogyny a hate crime across the UK. It should be, really.
Yeah, I thought it would, considering, you know, misogyny and you know, stuff like that is a protected characteristic. I thought it would be.
Yeah, I think that already should be. That's a thing we should. Why are we not funding it? That's a thing we should already be doing.
Yes.
Develop and implement a UK-wide strategy to tackle gender-based violence. So this is this transgender? Or
so this it's violence against women and girls.
Any gender.
It's any gender.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's one of those, it's quite broad.
Yeah, but they also want to make it a key measurable priority or a KPI for all police officers, police forces.
Yeah, yeah, so.
So they're gonna, they want to, they want to, they want to tackle gender-based violence, but with a UK-wide strategy, and they're going to measure it with a KPI, but what are we measuring?
That is a good question. And
wind.
Yeah, that's the only answer I could give.
Yep, that's the answer you were going to give, wasn't
that it? That was the answer. No, you did, yeah.
I stole the answer right out of your head.
You did, yeah.
So, investing £11 billion, in the Ministry of Justice over the course of the next Parliament to tackle court backlogs, restore legal aid budgets, and repair court buildings. Repair court buildings?
Yeah.
I mean, when you see some of these court buildings on the news, you think, really?
Well, I don't know. If you look at a lot of our court buildings, they're quite majestic buildings.
Some of them are, but which one was it? Was it Wrexham? It might have been Wrexham Courthouse, I think. Or no, it might not have been. I can't remember. But there was a courthouse recently on Sky News, and it looked like a public toilet. It was awful. It looked awful. No justice could have been done in that building, let me tell you.
Oh, but yeah, it's £11 billion is a lot of money.
That is. And also, their broad statement here, love this, recruit more judges.
Yeah, we need more judges, apparently. In terms of tackling the backlog, every party seems to have a different approach to
it. Which is strange, isn't it? Normally they all take sort of a similar approach, and we've seen this across the last 7 episodes of this special, that going over the manifestos, you can...
There's usually
a common theme, even from the left to the right. Usually a common theme, and there's usually most things that most parties can agree on. But in this case, they've gone about it a different way, which is a bit weird.
It's a strange one, because, you know, me personally, I think lawyers is the lack of lawyers, because it's previously it's been very difficult to qualify in the legal profession. Taken a very long time, it's very expensive, and it's very difficult to get the pupillage or the training contract that you need to do it. So I think that is a big part of it. And, you know, it's all well and good making more judges, but that's then taking people away from trying cases.
Yeah.
Unless it's magistrates, obviously. Magistrates are different, they're late.
Yeah, I mean, it's too broad. Where are you going to get from?
Yeah.
Is my question. You can't just make a judge.
And is that the problem that is causing...
Like Blue Peter. Here's a judge I made earlier.
Yeah, here's one we made earlier.
One final point from the Greens. Bit of a weird one, this. Establish a national commission to agree an evidence-based approach to reform the UK drug laws. There is a caveat to this as well. They want to push to decriminalise personal possession of drugs.
Yes.
So this, I'm assuming this is weed, marijuana, cocaine, or all.
But as far as I'm aware, they haven't listed in their manifesto.
I can't see anything in it.
They've not listed anything.
No.
There was, the way they've written it, it sounds like personal possession of any drug would be legal.
That's...
Which I think is not the right approach. Yes, we need to review the drug laws 100%.
Yes.
So I like that idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I would necessarily feel comfortable with someone walking around with, like, chloroform or something like that.
People can do that anyway.
No, that's...
It's not illegal to possess chloroform.
Is it not? It should be. I thought it was.
No.
I thought it was a controlled substance, chloroform.
Not as far as I'm aware.
Here we go. Sean's going to do some more live Googling for one of Chris's random thoughts. Here we go. This is great. So... Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily agree with everything being decriminalised. You know, the certain party drugs and stuff like that, yeah, okay, for personal use. But then, you know, are they going to decriminalise... Like, let's take weed, for example, right? That's a nice, easy one to do. Are they going to decriminalise growing it? So, you know, are you going to be allowed to grow it? How many plants are you allowed to grow? You know, how far does this go, Sean?
Yeah, that exactly, like... That we know that there are certain drugs that are much,
is it gonna be
much more dangerous.
Do we go like Amsterdam?
That's why it's an evidence approach. They haven't put a lot of meat on the bone.
Yeah.
They've said we need to form an approach. We need to form this commission
to agree an evidence-based approach.
To agree how we're
That's something that. But I mean, they could have at least put a little bit of something in there. You know, push to decriminalise personal possession of drugs. These are those drugs. That we're thinking, you know, something.
So yes, chloroform is legal in the UK because its main use is air conditioning.
Oh really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's used for air conditioners.
No
so
way.
It is legal to possess chloroform in the UK.
Yeah. So the Greens are obviously going in quite gung-ho here.
Yes, definitely. And it's quite...
Very, very left-wing.
Very left-wing. the whole... There's a lot of money again. It seems like a general theme throughout the Greens manifesto, really, doesn't it? So, lots of money. But is money necessarily the answer?
Always, in running a country.
Never.
More money equals more good.
We always know that less money is more good.
Okay, on to reform. You've been with us for over an hour now, and we appreciate it greatly.
We do.
We're nearly there. We love you very much. Okay. Nige, what you got?
Well, he's put a number on it.
Whoa.
40,000 new police officers over 5 years.
That's crazy. How much does a new police officer get paid?
Around £21,000.
So it's £21,000 times 40,000. Storm's mapping. How much is that going to cost?
£840 million.
So this is over 5 years.
Yeah.
So it might not cost that much to begin with, but say you hired 40,000 new officers in year one, that's how much it would cost you to pay.
It's £840 million, yeah.
Times that by five?
£4.2 billion.
That's a lot of money. Not as much as I was thinking, though.
Still a lot of money.
But obviously...
Considering this is point number one.
Hang on, so... I would add... So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I would add 8% onto that for like pay rises and stuff like that over the 5 years. As a rough fag packet maths, right?
That's 4.6 billion quid.
It's still a fucking lot of money, isn't it?
It is a lot of money. And that's just point number one in the whole police, crime and justice section for reform.
Okay, right. So a lot of money already spent, Nige.
Yes.
Clamp down on all crime and antisocial behaviour. How? 40,000 new officers.
40,000 new police officers.
Answer my own question there.
Yeah.
Prison for all violent crimes and knife possession.
Yes.
The prisons are already full, Nige. Where are you going to put them?
Prison.
Yeah, but where are you going to put them?
Prison.
There's nowhere. No. There's no space left in the prisons, Nigel. You can't. It's not like the NHS. You can't treat people in a hallway.
Okay. So what's your question?
My question is, where are you going to put them?
Prison.
Fuck off. So drug dealing and trafficking will carry a mandatory life sentence.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So you're smiling at me right now. I know you can't see this, everyone listening at home. But you're smiling at me right now. So is this going to get increasingly fucking crazy as we go through?
Maybe. Right. I genuinely can't remember what's coming up.
If you're selling £20 worth of weed on a street corner to your mate, life sentence for you,
life
my friend.
Life in prison.
Introduce a new offence of substantial possession of drugs, which will carry a heavy fine.
Yeah. But apparently, remember, drug dealing,
hang on a minute.
Mandatory life sentence.
Hang on. So what happens to possession with intent to supply?
Mandatory life sentence.
Okay,
prison.
This. Okay, right. As a lawyer, Sean, yeah. In the legal profession, yeah. We're only on point five right now. Is this making any sense whatsoever?
No.
No, right, okay. Increase the use of stop and search substantially, so we've gone from the fucking left all the way over to the right.
Yeah, we couldn't have got any further to the right if we tried.
We have smashed through the centre wall and straight into Nigel Farage's back garden, sipping on a martini with him, going, yeah.
Stop and search everyone.
Stop and search everyone.
They really think that stop and search is the answer. And as I said, I think it is a right, a power that the police need to have. Whether we increase the use substantially, I've already feel that it's used a lot more than it probably should be. The increase that, that just opens the floodgates to lawsuits against the police, to be honest.
Yeah. All right, new police leadership and recruitment regime. Well, hang on a minute. I think you should get the recruitment regime in before you recruit the 40,000 officers, no? That should have come before that. No?
Maybe.
Just going to point that out. With a strong preference to ex-military officers and personnel. I mean, that is something that the police currently do anyway.
They do, yeah. So they'll always...
When you start as start at the police service right at the bottom, I believe you need to have a degree of some description.
You don't have to. You can go in at entry level, there are routes
in that entry level that you then get a qualification out of it.
If you do the police graduate scheme, you start as a detective.
Yeah. That's good, but yeah, maybe put the recruitment regime in first before you try and recruit 40,000 officers. It might go a little bit easier. Nice. Just a thought, buddy.
But yeah, I like the idea. I suppose it bolsters the idea of we're going to be able to recruit more.
Yeah. Ensure police return to the beat and utilise tech to reduce lost time on paperwork.
Yeah,
okay, good night. But tech always can go wrong. What happens when it goes wrong? You end up doing contingency, which means he's running along writing in his little notepad. I asked him to stop. Oi, fucker! Stop! I shouted at him.
that's the thing. Technology it needs to be robust technology.
It needs to be for the emergency services. It needs to be robust and it needs to be foolproof. It needs to be easy to use and it can't go wrong.
I agree that police officers need to be able to spend less time behind their desks filling paperwork and be able to spend more time on the streets. I do agree with that point though.
Justice in action. All right, they're also going to allow PCSOs to become officers before phasing out the role.
Yes.
I don't necessarily agree with that because I think PCSOs do have a positive impact on smaller communities.
Definitely. If they're in the right areas.
And I think for some people, they don't want to be a full-on police officer. They do just want to be a PCSO.
We've dealt with
a PCSO in the past, and she loved her role, but she didn't want to be a full-on officer. She was dead against it.
Yeah. It's about that community outreach aspect of the role. So I feel that they're necessary in certain in the right areas.
Yeah. Okay. So. We're going even further to the right now. We're so far to the right. We're on Jupiter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We are.
Scrap.
Flying.
All diversity, equality, and inclusion roles and regulations.
Yes.
That's a very backwards move.
So, it is a very bit wrong. That is very. It's taken us back into the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. Sorry, Reform. I think you might have actually lost my potential vote on that point.
But yeah, that is. It's a very bold statement.
We need that. Can't get rid of that. We need that. Don't agree with that at all. Reform the Independent Office of Police Conduct. I do agree that while it is fit for purpose currently, it could do with a bit of reform.
It could do, given that, you know,
it takes too long.
It's been under a lot of scrutiny recently with all the issues that have come up in the police force.
Yes.
Around the country. And everything can be improved, right?
Uh-huh.
Nothing's ever perfect, so it couldn't hurt to reform it, definitely.
Alright, speaking of reforming, they want to reform police and crime commissioners, but caveat there, they might scrap them as well.
Yeah, so they're not 100% sure. They're going to review.
Yeah.
Love a review.
Love a good review.
But yeah, depending on the review, they might scrap police and crime commissioners. They might reform how they work, the powers that they have.
Yeah. Because we vote for these, don't we?
We vote for them, usually at the local elections.
Yes.
And we'll vote for the police and crime.
Wow.
So yeah, quite...
Some really strong statements from reform. Finally, they want to depoliticise the College of Policing. I don't really see how it's politicised.
No, it's...
I think Nigel would just sat there with a cigar and he went, yeah, just put that in there, that'll
just
do.
Just put it in, why not?
Yeah.
It's one of them things. People will argue that it's politicised, people argue that it isn't.
So, frankly, I'm disgusted by that,
if I'm honest.
It's not a good look at all.
No?
No, we need equality roles. We need to ensure that there is somebody within these massive companies, public sectors, that are ensuring that everyone is treated fairly, and it needs to be someone that is outside of that executive bubble.
Definitely. We were talking about this yesterday. We're quite lucky in this country.
Yeah.
To benefit from quite high protections when it comes to diversity and equality. And if we roll back on that, then how will we look on the world stage for a start?
Yep.
And secondly, how many people will that, negatively impact? You know, there are many, many people that what we would now say fall into, diversity and that. I just think it is the wrong direction. We need to be moving forward and accepting people.
Disappointing end there, Nige. Well, I mean, look, police and crime, wow. It's a lot there. It looks like a lot of our friends in Westminster and in the parties have put a lot of thought into this and have put a lot of meat on the bone, especially the Tories. For me, again, they've come out on top.
Oh, okay.
I think while Labour do have some good things in there, I just can't. There's just too much. There's too much going on. Ban ninja swords. Strengthen rules to prevent illegal online knife sales by fucking holding executives to account. Every youth caught in possession after referred to a Young Offenders Institute. It's just there is so much bureaucracy going on there that it's. I'm sorry, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Like the whole thing around the strengthening online knife sales or strengthening rules around to prevent it.
Yeah.
I get that, yes, we need to do something about that. But it's holding executives who sometimes don't necessarily have control over these things being sold because they take the necessary steps.
Yeah.
And people find ways around them. Yeah. And then the companies are obviously continuously working to try and prevent stuff like this because it negatively impacts their shares.
Yeah, you're right.
And that. So while it's idealistic, is it the right approach?
No, I don't agree. Lib Dems, pretty lackluster. Green, too right. Reform, too left.
Opposite direction.
Sorry, wrong way. Green's too left, Reform too right.
Yeah, very, very opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the nail in the coffin for me for Reform. They have had some good points before.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think every party, looking through the manifesto,
I think they've all shone at one point. And as an undecided voter, that's what's making it harder for me.
It's difficult to. The only one that I would say it was difficult to really get behind was the Greens because their manifesto was so over the top.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's just unrealistic.
It was desperation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's how it came across to me when I read it.
Absolutely everything after. Yeah. We know none of it's going to get done, so.
Alright then, well, Manifesto Destiny 8, Police, Crime and Justice is done.
It's done.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in a quick 10-minute roundup in the public service announcement coming up next. But we love you. We'll speak to you soon. We'll be back on our normal slot of Wednesdays. We record it on a Wednesday and then we release it on a Thursday. So on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, so do listen in. Sean, anything from your good self?
No. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by. It's been a pleasure, as always, Chris.
Don't forget to listen to our little PSA that will be out on Spotify probably tomorrow, which would be Election Day. And just one final note, please, please go and vote. It's the only thing that the government gives you for free, so please go and vote.
Yes, all you right. must vote.
We love you. We'll see you soon.
Love you.
Goodbye.
Bye.